Hi there, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Crescelle Counseling's Hope Through the Journey podcast, where we provide hope through the challenging journey of life. We'll give you actionable resources, tips, strategies, and tools that you may need along the way. Our podcast is designed to help you create the life balance you're looking for. We're also working really hard to help remove the stigma associated with mental health by talking about it in a way that we can all understand. So thank you again for showing up. I'm your host, Alfred Crescelle Jr., and I'm joined today by my co-host, fellow licensed professional counselor, and my sister, Letty Crescelle. Let, I don't know about you, but I've been feeling a bit overwhelmed lately with so much stuff going on with our business, family. By the way, if you're not a subscriber yet, we've got a really great freebie for you called 10 Ways to Stop Overwhelm Now, speaking of overwhelm. And you can get that today by just going to our website and signing up. So I've had to turn to some of these 10 things that are in there to really ground myself. I mean, the whole work-life balance, it's really a struggle. And it's becoming really difficult to complete these different tasks I've set for myself. So much so that I find myself just not completing anything I wanted to do on a particular day. Or while I'm trying to work on something, I'm getting sidetracked, distracted, right? And I start to feel stuck and I'm not accomplishing anything. It can be a mess. Now, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD, but at times I feel like I experience some symptoms of it.
Oh my goodness, you are preaching to the choir, as they say. I have days like that. Yeah. So much I tell myself that I want to get done, and then at the end of the day, I ask myself, what exactly did I get done?
Right?
Is there anything on the list that I can cross off? You know, I've mentioned several times that I deal with issues of procrastination. And it has nothing to do with being lazy, as some may think. It is a real struggle for me. It's hard for me to focus, and I get distracted by pretty much anything. But before I go diagnosing myself, I think we need to remember that just because we may experience some of the characteristics of ADHD, it doesn't mean that we actually have ADHD.
Right.
We usually hear a lot about ADHD in children and their struggles in school, you know, completing work and then actually turning it in or not turning it in. But while we talk about interventions and strategies to assist children, I think talking about how it affects adults is something we should spend some time on today. So why don't we start with what is ADHD?
All right. So first, I want to point out that there are three types of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. One is the predominantly inattentive type, where the person has difficulty with focus, attention, and memory. Another one is the predominantly hyperactive or impulsive type. Now, this individual lacks impulse control and exhibits restlessness. Now, the final type is a combination of the two. Combined type, right? It's an individual who experiences both lack of focus and impulsivity. So let me go back now to some of the symptoms of adult ADHD, because I think that's important to look at. And my source for this is the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, the ADDA. And it's also aligned with the DSM-5, which we've talked about on numerous occasions on the podcast before, sets the criteria for mental health diagnosis. So now, let's take a look at these in more detail. There might be difficulty focusing. You see a lot of daydreaming, being distracted easily, or zoning out in conversations.
Right.
Misplacing items. Organizing or keeping track of important items becomes a problem. Next, always running late. Now, this has nothing to do with being fashionably late to a party, right? This has more to do with poor time management.
Or that member of the family who's always late.
Right. with poor time management and distractibility. Engaging in risky behaviors is also a symptom of ADHD. Risky behaviors may include things like gambling, substance use, speeding, or maybe even overspending. And continuing again down the list of symptoms, there may be memory issues, forgetting important dates or appointments. And so these are things that we really need to take a look at and understand. People struggling with ADHD are also more prone to anger. They may exhibit mood swings, including anger outbursts, many times not even realizing the impact of their outbursts on the other person.
Yeah. You know, let me just mention here that Elf listing all the characteristics of ADHD, but that doesn't mean that someone diagnosed with ADHD displays all the characteristics that we mentioned.
Right, right.
You know, as per the DSM, for a diagnosis, six or more of the symptoms have persisted for at least 6 months and negatively impacts social, academic, or job, career.
Yeah, great point, Lett. Because we can all experience these things periodically, but thank you for making that clear.
Of course.
Here's another one. Finally, there's a lack of listening, and relationship roadblocks can also be a symptom that creates problems. So the former is critical with communication and relationships. It can be easy to see that if listening is not happening, it's safe to say communication is not good either. And some relationship roadblocks include blurting out hurtful words, speaking over the other person, and regulating emotions in general. Lett, what are your thoughts on this?
Look, I know people diagnosed with ADHD. I've lived with people who are diagnosed with ADHD. Mm. And the term that comes to mind for me is consistently inconsistent. Mm. In an article, Secrets of the ADHD Brain, Dr. William Dodson wrote, ADHD is a confusing, contradictory, inconsistent, and frustrating condition. Mm. Not only can it be difficult for the person diagnosed, but it can also be frustrating for the other person in the relationship.
I could see that.
You know, going back to communication in relationships.
Yeah.
Healthy communication in non-ADHD couples can be difficult already. So add one or both partners with ADHD and we have some added obstacles.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. We know that in any relationship, communication is an important piece of the puzzle. And because lack of focus can be an issue for adults with ADHD, it's important to learn some active listening skills for one. And you can do this by practicing sitting down with the person and being with them, being in the present moment. This communicates the importance of the person and the conversation. Another form of active listening that you can do is to paraphrase what you heard. In other words, make clear you heard what you thought you heard.
Yes, also called reflective listening, which helps the partner show that they understand the message being expressed. Also maintaining eye contact to help remain focused and show, look, I'm paying attention.
Right. Another practice for active listening is not interrupting. Mm. Right? Let the person speak and say what they need to say. You'll have your chance. And by not interrupting, you're also showing that you're listening.
Right. And actually listening, because sometimes we make the mistake of thinking about while the other person's talking, we're thinking about what our response is going to be. So we're not really hearing what is being said.
Yeah.
I also think that there should be some rules or steps to follow when you want to talk about something.
Yep.
In our last podcast, we talked about the 20-minute conflict resolution conversation.
Right.
Remember?
Episode
setting 17. Setting a time limit, especially if you're talking to someone who might be easily distracted. You already know that's going to happen. So if you're the one with ADHD and you know that you tend to zone out, let your partner know and ask them to repeat themselves if you need. If you allow the conversation to go on too long, when your mind starts to wander, it's harder to reconnect. So be transparent. Say, I'm trying. Help me.
Yeah. And it's also important to be open and honest about learning more about ADHD and the symptoms that go along with it. It can be very frustrating for both individuals in the relationship if one or both feel like the other person doesn't understand them or know what they're feeling or what they're going through. It's really about educating each other about ADHD. Doing the research and exploring the symptoms and asking questions and exploring each other's feelings about what is said, expectations, and what gets done and how it gets done.
Yeah, you know, I'm going back to transparency here for a bit. Remember that the ADHD brain is wired differently than a non-ADHD brain. Mm-hmm. Try to put yourselves in each other's shoes. Remember the movie Freaky Friday? The original with Jodie Foster and the remake with Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis? Yes, I've watched both versions. So it wasn't so easy what they went through. Take the time to have conversations to help both of you understand what both sides feel like.
Yeah, conversations. What is that? If it's not communicating, right? Mm-hmm. So it's having a way of communicating, right? A structured format that gives both people a chance to be heard in a productive way. We've talked about how to effectively communicate before. And as I teased in our last episode, it's something I'm working on that I'm excited to offer the public coming real soon. So
inquiring minds want to know.
Right.
How soon?
Soon. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So we've addressed putting yourself in the other person's shoes. And once you've done that, it's time to take responsibility for your role in the relationship. The way that the non-ADHD partner responds to a trigger behavior can go one of two ways. Either you can be open to cooperation and compromise, or it could lead to misunderstanding or hurt feelings. And if you're the one with ADHD, you are responsible for the way you react to your partner's concerns. Your reaction has the power to make your partner feel validated or ignored. So what's it going to be? Al, how can we help each other be better in our relationships?
That's a good question. And so we want to make sure we give our audience some answers here to that question. So let's look at some practical coping mechanisms for ADHD that can help bridge the gap in these types of relationships. And one way to accomplish this is through what I call family meetings or couples meetings, whatever you want to call it is fine. But this is about setting a date and time during the course of the week decided upon by the couple that is set aside to meet about the upcoming week. What do schedules look like?
Right.
What are some important tasks that need to get done? And this is really no different than what you would have at work, right? I mean, there are work meetings that employees attend to discuss varying topics.
Right.
And this is similar, and I believe, a really effective way to handle expectations for joint planning and relationships.
Right. And again, when you take the time to do this on a weekly basis, there's a routine developing.
Right.
A way to hold both accountable without judgment.
And routines are so important, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why we talk about scheduling and organization. Better time management is another coping mechanism that needs to be considered. Things like using a calendar or a planner to write things down. Using a timer for certain tasks, that can be helpful. Breaking tasks down into smaller chunks is effective as well. Some other time management skills include using your phone to set reminders, set up routines for yourself, and organize things in a way where you won't lose them. You know, keys in the same place, for example. I tell my wife all the time, I don't lose things because I always put them in the same place every time. You know, and then she asks, have you seen the keys? I'm like, well, you know, if they were in the same place, you wouldn't know where they were. But yeah, anyway, these are just a few ways to practice time management.
I actually do keep my keys in the same place. I have a small container by the front door, and I make sure I drop the keys there when I come in so that I know exactly where they are when I'm leaving. Again, it's one less thing to worry about, you know? Another coping mechanism to develop is organization. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is a big challenge.
For everybody, right?
Yes, for everybody. It can alleviate stress and overwhelm if you can make just a few changes by developing small habits, such as making a daily to-do list. Having a list of tasks that you want to complete can help you stay focused. Make sure that you set reasonable expectations, though. Don't put 10 things on your list if you know that realistically you're only going to be able to get half of it done. Yeah. The idea is to work on a daily to-do list until it becomes a habit that you train yourself to do. Another form of organization is removing clutter.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes a big difference, especially around your workspace, your desk area. A messy desk can become overwhelming and get in the way of being productive.
Yeah, it can.
Focus on one thing at a time, though. Like, for example, if you and your partner decide we're going to clean the house, all right, let's stop right there. When it comes to cleaning up, focus on one room at a time.
Yeah.
With your partner, decide which rooms to tackle and when. For example, maybe Saturday we clean the kitchen and the living room. Mm-hmm. Sunday, we clean the bedroom and the bathroom and so on.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going over.
Well, and it's about efficiency, right?
Right.
It's about efficiency. It's about time management. It's about, you know, getting tasks done, completing them.
And can I just say that there is great satisfaction in crossing off the to-do list.
Absolutely.
it's done. It's done. It's, yes.
Next, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good feeling. Sense of accomplishment, sense of achievement.
Yes, exactly.
It's motivational.
I can do this. It's a motivational thing. I did this today. Yeah.
All right, so another area we want to address in relationships with ADHD in them is the importance of nurturing the relationship, being understanding, and appreciating the small wins. I like to tell couples that they need to thank each other for the work they do as a sign of appreciation for the other, really.
Right. Yeah.
We shouldn't take things for granted. And just to emphasize the point, I mentioned to my son the other day that he needed to make sure to thank his mom for washing his clothes. And, you know, he looked at me and said, but Dad, Mom always does it. I told him, well, but she doesn't have to. And we need to thank her for doing that for us. And I think he understood.
Yeah.
He thanked his mom. And I think this the same is true when we're working on personal growth changes. It's hard to change. Mm-hmm. It takes commitment and a lot of work. In relationship, we need to thank someone for the positive change they make. It's a show of support for the other, that they understand how difficult it may be, and they say, hey, thank you for doing that. That worked for us. That was good.
I agree. Showing someone appreciation validates them and shows, hey, they notice what I'm doing.
Yeah. All right. Another way to nurture the relationship is to connect with each other by sharing quality time, whether it's in conversation, in play, or in any other way that creates intimacy. Maybe having a date night or a meeting for lunch. Maybe it's coffee or a walk in the park. Decide together and make it yours. No comparisons to any other couples either. The only relationship that matters is the one you're in.
Exactly. The most important thing to remember is that you're a team.
Exactly.
And you need to work together as a team with both of you lifting each other up and supporting one another.
Yep.
Understanding ADHD and the symptoms, honest, open communication, and having empathy towards one another is part of that process. Every couple is different. Figure out what works best for you in your relationship.
And while these are definitely challenges, they are also tools that need to be practiced to better ourselves and our relationships. And it's all about connections, isn't it?
Absolutely. Being present, showing interest, being vulnerable, building trust, these continue to strengthen that connection.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, another great episode, Lett. Thanks for all the information you provided. And that's going to bring this episode to a close. We are so thankful to you again for taking time out of your busy life to listen to today's message and hopefully get some insight on ADHD and how to manage it in your relationships. If you've enjoyed today's show and liked what you heard, please share it with your friends, post it on social media, or forward the link to the people you work with. Make sure you don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. If you want more from us, you can sign up for our blog by heading over to our website at chrishellcounseling.com, C-R-I-X-E-L-L counseling.com, and become a subscriber today. I'm on Instagram if you want to follow me, chrishelljr.alfred. Lett, where can our listeners follow you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram at Anna Chrishell. Once again, thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast. Remember, practice makes permanent.
Thank you, Lett, as always, for sharing a little bit of you on the podcast today. We appreciate it. Life is a journey, everyone. Thank you for allowing us to share a little piece of our life with you. Remember, you're not alone. We're in this together. We got this. Talk soon.
Bye.